Liverpool played West Ham last night and were victorious 3-1. And joining me for a little chat about it and a chat about the day's proceedings, because it's deadline day, is the very lovely Adam Smith. How are you, mate? You okay?
I'm all right, yeah. Don't think I've ever been described as very lovely before. That seems quite right.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Adam, last night, I must admit, I was so worried going into that game. I don't know whether I should have been, but I was really worried. I looked at the team lineup, came in, and I thought, oh, God, here we go. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I'm normally quite positive, but obviously I think I'm a bit scarred by that five-game sequence we've just had. Team lineup comes in. There's no Fabinho. There's no Mane. We've got Phillips in there. We've got Shaqiri playing as a 10 behind the two strikers. Oh, and Origi's in there as well, you know. So, well, I mean, what was your thoughts when that team lineup came in?
Look, I think anybody who says that they were particularly enthused by it is a liar, to be perfectly honest with you. Like, because it's just that was not a team that makes you go, "Poor, we're going to batter them here." Like, it just wasn't. I think, you know, Phillips. Obviously, I thought Phillips did well against Spurs for the whole, you know, on the most part, but basically had nothing to do, if we're being honest about it. And that, you know, the first thing he did was absolutely clatter into somebody and get a yellow card. I mean, it was great. You know, it was great fun, but it wasn't the sort of thing that makes you go, "He's the defender for me." Like, it was a little bit of a, "Oh my God, what are we in for here?" So I think, you know, you've got obviously Antonio is in incredible form for West Ham. Suchek has been unbelievable. You know, what a revelation he's been. So there's been a few little players around their team where you're looking and going, "I don't really want them running it. Nat Phillips. I don't want Jordan Henderson to be doing too much." And then, you know, yeah, and look, the Divock Origi will go down in history as one of the players that we will all talk about in decades to come. The things that he's done, whether you're looking at the goals against Everton, what he did in that match against Barcelona, or of course the Champions League final goal. Unbelievable. Absolutely, Dortmund. Yeah, if you want to go back to that, he was really good in that game. Yeah. You know, so much where you can look and go, what a cult figure he'll be. But I just don't want to watch him anymore, and I feel a bit sorry for him because he just doesn't fit in with what we're trying to do at all. And you know, I thought last night every attack died at his feet. He's a player for the wrong era. And I think he'd be, you know, if we sell him to like West Brom or something, I think he'd be brilliant for them. Like, he'll do the job, you know, no problem. But this Liverpool team is not about what he offers. And so, yeah, when I saw him in the lineup, I was a bit like, are we still doing this? Like, are we really still going through the motions with this? And that's not fair on him because he doesn't deserve that sort of feeling to be. You should hear the name Divock Origi and be like, remember that goal against Everton? You shouldn't be thinking, oh my God, are we going to have to watch him plod around the pitch for 90 minutes? And it's a shame. I really think that.
It's interesting you say that because, I mean, I have all those thoughts as well. And weirdly, the thing that you've just said is, I've said to loads of people, you know, if he went to West Brom and played every game, he'd probably be great, you know, but we don't, he's in and out for us and it's not really fair on him. You're right in saying that. The interesting thing for me is I want to disagree with you a little bit because I actually thought he played well last night. I thought he ran the channels. He got plays. The thing that frustrates me about him, and I was saying this to myself last night watching the game, he has attributes, and I don't think he uses them as much. He did in the second half. He's lightning quick. He is massive, but you don't see him running at players half as much as you should. Now, in the second half, I felt like he did that a little bit, and he got some joy. And you think, there we go, just do that. I mean, what would your response be to that?
I think, look, it's not totally, you know, unreasonable what you've said. And I have to hold my hands up and say, I'm just done with him. So I'm finding it very difficult to see the positives. And I'll admit that, you know, I'm not the sort of person who kind of will be like, no, I'm right about that. But, you know, I'm fine. You know, maybe I am just being a little bit harsh on him. But I just think that, you know, he does all of those things that you've said, but they're all aimless. Yeah. Like, I think that's the big, but there's no like reasoning behind what he's doing, you know, to what it seems like from the outside is, and the number of times when we're essentially we're playing two up top with the diamond, the number of times he was basically on our halfway line in the mix trying to get the ball, you know, alongside James Milner or something. I'm like, mate, you're the one they're trying to get it to.
Yeah.
What are you doing on the halfway line? Get up there. They're trying to get the ball to you. They're not going to be able to do that if you're winning the ball on the halfway line.
The other thing with that as well was there was a couple of times when Trent had it in a wide position looking to cross and Divock's on the centre circle.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to see him in the 6 yard box using that strength. And again, that goes back to my thing where he has all the, he's had these attributes, but he might as well be slow and 5 foot 10 because he plays like a player who is of that stature sometimes.
Yeah. And I think, to be honest, I think the biggest kind of reason for that, the biggest thing with that is that we want our players to do loads of stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, we want our players to be all over the place doing everything. Like, look at what Firmino does for us, you know, dropping into midfield. Yeah. Then he's up front, then he's on the sides, he's everywhere. And Origi doesn't have the sense, he doesn't have the brain to be able to do it. It's not his style. And it's why I think if you gave him to Sam Allardyce and Sam Allardyce said, you stay there, we put the ball on your head, you score. Yeah. I think he'll do really well because he needs the sort of manager who is like one dimensional. You know, we've got a manager who's four-dimensional and Origi isn't good enough to play in that kind of way for me.
Well, the first half performance was okay. It wasn't anything amazing. We'd come out of it goalless. Was there anything in that first half performance which gave you encouragement for the second half?
I mean, if I'm being generous, then I'd say the fact that West Ham never really looked like scoring, I think, you know, that was a good thing. But if I'm totally honest, that, like, I felt that I could see where a West Ham goal was coming from. While they never looked like scoring, you could see what their plan was. We get a set piece, we make it, put it in the mixer, make it dangerous. That's what our plan's going to be. I just didn't know where our goal was coming from. Didn't have a clue. I was looking at it thinking, I don't know what our plan is here to try and score. And I think, you know, now on reflection, I think we spent the first 45 minutes basically earning the right to play. First 45 minutes of an hour, we were earning the right to play. And then once we'd kind of, you know, said to West Ham, we're not making this easy for you, you're going to have to be at your best, then obviously... But even then, you have to put your hands up and say the first goal, it comes from a piece of genius from Mo Salah. You know, it's not, that wasn't something that it felt like we were turning up the pressure going, you know, oh, the goal's going to come. It's basically come out of Salah being unbelievable. So the first half, I was a bit despondent, probably isn't the right word, but the end of the first half, I was a little bit sitting there thinking, I've seen this before.
Yes.
Like, we've had this before, do you know what I mean? This sort of, like, loads of possession, but we didn't ask the goalkeeper to make a save. Yep. We've seen that again, you know, in that the run you mentioned before of those five games, we saw that again and again and again. Dominant, but what Arsene Wenger would have called sterile domination.
Yep.
Just wasn't anything. We weren't doing anything. Never tested the goalkeeper.
Yep.
So I was going, please don't let us slip back into that,
of course, that habit,
that pattern.
You know? He makes a change. I think I'm right in saying that Curtis Jones comes on at 0-0. Am I right? I am.
Yeah, he does, yeah, because he sets up the first goal.
And there's that. Did you see that little interchange between Klopp and Milner when Milner went off?
Yeah,
which was lovely. Interesting. I mean, God knows what they were saying. Milner was glaring him right in the eye, so it was a little bit, you know, it wasn't a friendly interchange. But then obviously, it was a couple of minutes later. Curtis Jones goes on one of those mazy runs as a 1-2 on the edge of the area and bang, you know, Mo Salah on his left foot. Absolutely beautiful. And what a way for us to get back, you know, get on top in that game in what looked like was going to be a turgid, sort of, like you said, sterile. The second goal, I want you to talk about the second goal because it was breathtaking, wasn't it?
That's honestly one of the best goals I think we've scored for as long as I can remember, because it wasn't just you've got West Ham, right, who I'm fairly certain I'm right in saying are the number one team for scoring goals from set pieces in the Premier League. They've got a corner, we've got a central midfielder playing as centre back. We've got a lad who, you know, let's be honest, isn't the,
he's played
the top,
five times,
you know, top level.
Yeah.
You what, sorry, mate?
Played five times for us.
Yeah, exactly. Played five times for us. And also, if we're all being honest, you know, top of the Premier League battle is probably not his level. And I think he'd admit that himself. So you're looking at it going, you know, we don't, why do we keep giving away these corners? We really need to be better at giving, you know, stop giving away these corners. And then the ball drop, we clear it. The ball drops to Trent. And in that sort of situation, so many times you've seen players just boot it clear, just get rid of it. We can reset, you know, whatever. And he takes his time. He gets it under control. He takes his time. He looks up and he goes, there's acres of space. I'm going to put it in that acres of space where Shaqiri's running into. Shaqiri gets it. And most other people, you know, lots of players you'd see take a couple of touches, set themselves, look across the box. Shaqiri goes, nah, Mo Salah, I know how good a player he is. I'm just going to put this on his foot and let him deal with it. He pings an unbelievable back. It's, like, Trent's pass is incredible, but it's just into space, really.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Shaqiri is the jelly in the goal for me, I think.
It's just an incredible pass. Lands on Salah's foot. And then even then, you've got, you know, Salah going, well, how many choices have I got? But what he does is he just controls it perfectly and then taps it past the onrushing goalkeeper. Like, it's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, mate, if I scored that on FIFA, I'd be sharing it. Going, see what I've just done here. You know, like, and that's a real human beings doing that. Unbelievable.
I think the pressure that came from the corners, I thought we dealt with quite well. I know they score one after we get the third and from a corner, but other than that, I thought we dealt with them quite well, considering what we're dealing with at the moment, which is a midfielder and a kid playing it. At centre half. All right, he's not a kid, but I use that liberally.
Yeah, to advisedly.
That five games for us.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we get a third, and the third was beautiful, wasn't it? One touch passing, little triangles, fantastic.
Gorgeous. Another brilliant goal that if the other two hadn't been scored, you'd be going, poof, that's a goal of the month stuff, that, you know, whereas he's just, you know, Genie's up against a goal of the season one, the one before, you know. I agree. I think we handled the pressure really well. My dad, who's often a bit, you know, sort of often picks up on the negatives of games, you know, my dad texted me, was like, oh, I really wish we could get rid of that little thing of conceding from set pieces and things. And I was like, Dad, they're the best team in the Premier League at set pieces, and they've had about 10 against us.
Yeah.
And they've scored one.
Yeah.
You know, and even that, they probably, you know, we
there's an element of luck there. It's gone through, hasn't it? There's an element of luck there, as I think. It's bounced up nicely for him, and I'm sure we could have done better.
If you're enjoying this video so far, please show your support for the Ken7 channel by subscribing, clicking the like button, and also clicking the notifications button as well to get future broadcasts. If you could also share the video on your Twitter and Facebook account, that will show YouTube's algorithm that you like our content. Have you heard about Ken7 merchandise? The link is in the description of this video. We have premium fan wear for fans covering Liverpool, Celtic and Scotland. And it's fan wear for young and old. So we have t-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, caps, mugs, you name it, we've got it. Just something else to remember, every purchase that is made on our website, we donate to the Marina Dalgleish Appeal. So you're helping a great cause as well.
So looking at the game, who were your top performers in the game?
Look, I think Salah, obviously, you know, he is there. I mean, that's four seasons in a row now. He scored 20 plus goals, which is, you know, the first player to do it since Ian Rush. And I honestly think he's still underrated. Like, I really do. I think there's still some people who don't realise how good he is. He's incredible, because it's not just how he's done that, but how, like, I want to say he's 19 goals off taking over Ryan Giggs as the highest scoring winger in the Premier League, and he's done it in like 400 fewer games or something. That's absolutely nice. Mental. He is one of the best that we've ever had, and I still think there's some people that don't rate him that highly, which is bonkers, but it's true. So I think that's, like, he's there, definitely. I think I think, you know, James Milner has to be given, you know, a lot of credit. He is, to use the sort of phrase, he's the adult in the room, isn't he? You know, he's doing the sensible grown up things that we need somebody to do, you know. And he's especially with Henderson playing in defence, Milner kind of does that grown up stuff. And do you know what? I have to take my hat off to him, because, like, I mean, I've always rated James Milner. I don't ever want to give the impression I haven't rated him, but there are times when I've kind of gone, I just think he's a bit too slow up for this side, and, you know, he picks up stupid bookings because he's just a little bit too slow behind the ball. Well, two matches in a row, I've had a fiver on him getting a booking, and he hasn't done it. So the little sod. So he's absolutely making me look a fool, and, you know, fair play to him.
I think he's dragged us out of this slump.
Yeah,
I think
I think that's very fair.
His energy field has been absolutely crucial.
Yeah, and he's just sensible, just making sensible decisions, isn't he? I think that's very fair. I think Henderson, if you asked me right now what I would like, I think Henderson's the best number eight in the team, but I think we have options there, right? I think there's players that we can play in that position. I think Fabinho is the best number six in the team, mm-hmm. but whilst there are options to put him there, the drop off between Fabinho and any other number six is bigger than the drop off between Henderson and any other number eight, I would say, right? So for me, if I were Jurgen Klopp, I'd be looking at it going, I think we keep Henderson at centre back in games where we need a midfielder to play centre back, and we put Fabinho back in the DM role, because then Fabinho is in his strongest position. The midfield as a whole is stronger. And Henderson's really good there. Gary Neville was saying a lot on Sky last night that he thinks maybe that's something that Jordan Henderson can look at to lengthen his career. And I could understand it. I could definitely understand that decision being made. Henderson gets a little nod from me as well.
The Henderson thing's interesting for me, because when he played there against Southampton, he played there in the World Club Cup a year ago. He played there against Southampton and we got beat. But he didn't. It wasn't because of him that we got beat. It was... No. Because their goal was like ridiculous. In fact, I think he Ings pulls off Trent anyway. It's not Henderson anyway.
No.
And a lot of Liverpool fans and fans in general of football teams, and they don't believe something will work until they actually see it work. Mm. So there was a lot of fans going, Henderson, not a chance. He's never going to work at centre back. He's a midfielder. There's a lot of people saying we need Henderson in midfield. And, you know, we miss him. And I get that point. But I was very curious to see Henderson play. I said at the time, let's give him 10 games. If we're going to be struggling and we're not going to sign anyone, let's give him 10 games at centre-back. And let's say where he is at the moment, because it's way too early to tell. He's such an intelligent footballer, and he is such an influence on our team in the dressing room and on the pitch, that it was difficult for me to see that he wouldn't be able to be a great centre-back. And I think we're now seeing that. In these performances, and it certainly had an effect in this little run of games where we've turned things around. We had a little honourable mention of Phillips before. What did you think? Obviously we're going to get on to what might happen today signings wise, but would you be comfortable with Phillips playing in there in the future?
I posited on Twitter a while ago the idea that if we weren't going to sign a centre-back, then pick one of the centre-backs or both of the centre-backs, either Rhys Williams or Nat Phillips, and give them a run of games. Mm-hmm. Because the problem with shifting, what you said a minute ago about people, you know, people saying, oh, the midfield misses Henderson. Well, the reason the midfield missed Henderson is because it was also missing Fabinho. Mm-hmm. So then you've got our two of our best midfielders have had to drop into central defence. So then the whole midfield changes, which means the supply lines, the attack changes, which means no wonder we were struggling a little bit, right? Yeah. So if you asked me, if you said, look, the deal for, you know, the two people that were, you know, or two or three people that were rumoured to be signing today, they've all fallen through, can't get any of them. Then I'd say, okay, so let's stick with Phillips and Henderson. Let's just give them a chance, because Phillips has done really well there. Because let's not forget, you know, Antonio is one of the informed players in the Premier League at the moment. I mean, he's unbelievable what he's doing. You know, scoring virtually every match. I know, because I haven't had him in my fantasy football team and everybody else has. So every single game he seems to be scoring. And Phillips, and he's fast. That's the big thing about him. He's fast. But there was no time at which he got in behind the defence. There was
that
no
one chance,
which...
didn't he, just before we scored the first goal?
Yeah. So I think, you know, you've got to kind of say, okay, you know, he's not the long-term solution. He's not Van Dijk. He's not Gomez. He's none of those things. But he's a solid defender, and he bloody loves heading the ball. I've never known anybody love heading something as much as he does.
Yeah.
Really, not only loves it, but really good at it. Like he just, a ball's ahead is the bang. Like, just again and again and again. That's his, he just loves it. So, you know, I think there's, again, and he's another one. He's a little bit like Origi. If you told me in the summer, we sold Origi and Nat Phillips to West Brom, I'd go, yeah, well, they'll have solid careers. I think a pair of them will have solid, decent careers for that club, you know, or West Ham or whatever, whoever you want, you know. So, yeah.
I can't remember from the games that Phillips has played for us. The only one that I have a little asterisk next to is the Brighton one away, where he might have had a slightly dodgy game. But again, I don't think that was why we drew the game. Other than that, he's played well when he's played. He's just done the simple things that he's good at.
Yeah. But he's done what's been asked of him. You know, that's like whatever else, he can walk away from his time at Liverpool and go, I did what was asked of me. You know, I've done exactly what the manager wanted me to do, and that's it. And I've proven that I can play at a decent level. And I think he will. He'll have a Premier League career. I don't think it'll be with us, but he'll have a Premier League career. And yeah, as I say, look, we all want the deals to go through. We all want a couple of centre-backs to come in so that we can just get midfielders back into midfield and start to let players play in their actual positions. But if they fell through today and you've sort of just got Nat Phillips, you know, to play for the rest of the season alongside AN other, I'd go okay. You know, I'm not too worried about that. I'm not looking forward to him playing against Man City.
Yes.
But not all teams are Man City's level. Yeah. You know, there's loads of teams in the Premier League that Nat Phillips is more than good enough to play against.
To be fair, even if we sign these two players today, and we'll get onto that in a minute, you're not sure which one you'd want to be playing against Man City, because there's an asterisk against all of them, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, absolutely. And that's kind of, I think it's, I would not be shocked to see Henderson and Fabinho be the back line against Man City.
Yeah.
But I'd rather it not be, if I'm being honest, you know, because for what I've said before, that Fabinho is a brilliant central defensive midfielder. So if you gave me the squad and everyone's fit, obviously, apart from the long-term injuries, everyone's fit, I'm probably saying, let's go Phillips and Henderson again in defence with Fabinho as the DM patrolling in front of them, because they've probably got the best chance of keeping the likes of Man City out, because Fabinho can patrol in front of them. They can look after Phillips. And Henderson is quick, he's intelligent, he knows what he's doing, and he can lead from the back.
Yep.
You know, so many captains are central defenders, aren't they? John Terry being the sort of quintessential example. Yep. Loads of them over the years, Sol Campbell and Rio Ferdinand. You know, it's not unusual. You know, I never like a goalkeeper as captain.
Yeah.
But it's not unusual for a central midfielder, for a central defender to be one.
Of course. I've got to, last time I had you on, we had a good chat about one of your special subjects, which is John Moss, the referee. Now, the last two games, we've had him as the VAR in the first game against Tottenham, and we had him actually as the referee last night. And I just, when I hear his name now, I always think of you because of that rant that you went on last time. So how did you assess his performance last night? He ruled in our favour on the VAR, didn't he? He got the trigonometry right. Do you remember you talking about the trigonometry?
Yeah. The thing about that, though, mate, is you just need to look at it and go, Son's offside in that Spurs one. It wasn't close. It wasn't Mane at Everton, which never was offside anyway, but that's neither here nor there. You know, it wasn't Ings the other day where, you know, it's just there, just above the armpit kind of thing. It wasn't that. He was just offside, and still he spent ages drawing the lines and pulling the, as if he was trying to figure out if he could somehow make him onside. Like, he's not he is not fit enough to be a professional referee, and I include sat in the VAR room. He's not fit enough to do it. Like it's and do you know what? I'm not having a go at him. I'm no spring chicken. But I'm sure he's nearly 50. Have you seen photos of Mo Salah? Like, have you seen what he looks like with his top off? It's insane. Like, it's mental. And you've got John Moss trying to keep up with him. Like, can you imagine what was going through his head when we had that break from the corner? Yeah. When it came to that, he must have gone off. Oh, well, I'll run the halfway line. I mean, that's what I like. That's as far as I'm going. Haven't scored by then I'll just give a throw in. I'm not running that far. Like,
I think he was in his ear going, I hope you're getting this. I can't get there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's not his fault. It's the PGMOL that needs to have a serious look at themselves. And it's not just John Moss, by the way. Most of these referees are 40 odd years old. And I'm not, you know, obviously, if you've got any 40 year olds listening to this, there'll be loads of them going, I'm really fit and blah, blah, blah. Have you seen Mo Salah without his top on? Like, look at what they are up against, the most finely tuned athletes in the world. And these fellas are in the 40s. And John Moss is not fit, by the way. He's not, and that's not, I am a larger lad myself. I'm not trying to do down people or be fattest or anything else that people might want to accuse me of. He's not fit. He cannot keep up with play. So why is he being allowed to referee professional football matches with lads who are in their 20s and are in the peak physical condition? He just can't do it, and it's not his fault. Put him out to pasture. It's like Martin Tyler. Just call it a day. It's time. We're done. We're done now. Just let it go. And that's, you know, that's what it comes down to for me. And like, so John Moss, I am 99% certain, was the one who sent Sadio Mane off for the high boot on Ederson in the Man City match. Right. We can have a big old, you know, many years ago, we can have a big old conversation around that. Right, wrong, the fact that countless other people have done a high foot, exactly the same thing, and not been sent off since. We can have that conversation till we're blue in the face, right? One of their lads kicked Jordan Henderson in the head yesterday and didn't get anything. Where's the consistency from the same referee, by the way?
Yeah, it's a good point. I never thought about that at the time, that it should have been a booking, but normally it would be.
He was already on a yellow as well, the lad, which is probably why he's bottled it and not shown in the second yellow, because he was already on one. Yeah. And it's just, I've got a hierarchy of referees, right? Michael Oliver's right near the top, and even he's a bit rubbish this year, but he's the one at the top, and then all the rest are just rubbish. But John Moss is the worst because he's too unfit to keep up with play, and he doesn't seem to know the rules, even when he is somehow miraculously around the play. Once play has gone one end and come back to the other and he hasn't moved, he somehow manages to be there or thereabouts. Even then, he doesn't seem to know the rules of the game. You know, the handball, the other day, everyone was saying, but it was, Martin Atkinson or whatever went over to the screen and he decided it was Bobby Firmino who handled the ball, right? That's irrelevant, because John Moss never should have sent him to the screen, because the question came down to, was it a deliberate handball? And the answer is no. There's no way it was a deliberate handball, because Bobby Firmino had your man wrapped round him, you know, like basically controlling him like Weekend at Bernie's. There was no way that it was a deliberate handball. And John Moss just should have gone on the VAR. No, it's not a deliberate handball. But instead, he chooses, and it's the VAR choice, he chooses to show Martin Atkinson a slow motion replay of the video where it looks like it is a deliberate handball because it's in slow motion. That's his job as the VAR, is to go, no, it wasn't a deliberate handball, the goal stands. And he can't even do that.
I would have liked to have known what Martin Atkinson was looking for. Had John Moss said, well, I think it's come off Dyer's arm, but then Firmino handles it. Or has he just said, you need to check, Firmino handles it?
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? And is Martin Atkinson looking at both things, or is he just looking at the Firmino bit? Because he should be looking at both.
So I think, it's pure speculation, isn't it? But my assumption is that John Moss has said on the VAR, you need to have a look at this, whether he's done it deliberately or not. If it's a deliberate handball, the goal can't stand. If it's an accidental handball, it can stand. Right. And that is, he shouldn't be doing that, because it's very clear to anybody who's watching it, there's no way that's a deliberate handball. Mm. So his job as the VAR, he doesn't need to get Martin Atkinson to go over and have a look at it. He just needs to say to Martin Atkinson, it's an accidental handball, disallow it.
Okay, you don't,
But this is the fella, lest we forget, that gave Tottenham a penalty 3 seasons ago or whatever it was, 4 seasons ago, because he just decided to.
I was there, yeah.
You know, because the linesman basically said, I'm not sure whether he's touched or not. I'm just going to give the pen. And yeah. Like, what planet are you living on where the PGMOL can see that 4 seasons ago, whatever it was, and go, yep, he's sound, still carry on. Like, he's awful. He is legitimately awful and not fit enough to keep up with play. And we've got to keep coming back to that because some of the referees, Martin Atkinson is fit enough to keep up with play. I still think it's a bit daft that he's a professional referee as it is, but he can at least keep up with play. John Moss can't, and it's not fair to the fella. Have you seen Mo Salah with his top off? Like, what are they doing to him?
Good stuff, mate. Good stuff. I can't let you go. Obviously, today is deadline day, and looks like there's going to be a couple of incomings, which, I mean, Liverpool are normally quite quiet on deadline day. They don't normally leave things to the last minute, but we've heard, as of the time of recording, that Ben Davis is having a medical ahead of a £2 million move from Preston. And just before we started, Sky Sports were reporting that Ozan Kabak was having a medical in Germany ahead of a proposed loan move, which would then be made permanent in the summer. Great news that we've acted. We've been asking for it. We've been asking for it since the summer almost. We wanted another centre-back. I think we took a gamble on Fabinho playing back there, and that's blown up in our face. And the fact that we're still in third in the league is remarkable, really. What's your reaction to the possible incoming of two centre-backs and, you know, the two guys that we're talking about?
Well, first of all, I've got to hold my hands up and say I don't know anything about either of them, apart from what I've read on Twitter and things like that. I don't know. I must admit, I don't watch the Championship. I don't watch the Bundesliga. I just don't watch anything other than Liverpool, really. So I can't comment on their actual abilities, right? I do think it is really funny, that we've spent the entire transfer window saying we want centre-backs, It's been like, not getting one. Deadline day, FSG go, fine, you want centre-backs? It's two centre-backs. And Liverpool fans still go, we don't want those ones, though. that's really funny. Like, people go, they're not good enough. Like, I mean, that's just, you know, my favourite thing about transfers in general. But ultimately, for me, it comes down to this, which is that Liverpool FC have put very little wrong, have done very little wrong in the transfer market during basically Michael Edwards' time at the club, right? So they've not picked Ben Davis out of a lineup and just go, well, just have that one. You know, they're looking at things and looking at going, what has he got? And what he apparently got is his brilliant pass with the ball. He's a left-footed player, so he goes into sort of that side of the pitch, Van Dijk's side, and he's a good passer of the ball. So they're the things where Michael Edwards has gone, that's what we're missing, is a decent passer to get us out, right? Liverpool very rarely have to do a huge amount of defending. You know, it's not like we're constantly under the cosh. You know, compare us to West Ham last night, you know, where they were constantly, you know, having to redo the shape, get the shape in public because they're always there. That's not us. You know, it's very little defending that we have to do. So we want a lad who can pass the ball, who can head stuff clear when he needs to, and who's a body, basically, to mean that we don't have to keep playing midfield.
We need a good one-on-one defender as well. Because quite often people counter on us because we have that high line.
Yes. So
we also need someone who's quick and someone who's a good one-on-one. I haven't been able to decipher whether he's quick or not, but I believe from reading that he is quick. But from what I've seen on YouTube, doing my YouTube research, he looks very good one-on-one. So if you've got someone running at him, he quite often, they don't get past them. He'll just take the ball off them. Very much like Van Dijk, actually. Comparing him to Van Dijk. I just mean in that. In fact, very much like Fabinho. The way Fabinho does that. Someone running at him, and he just stops them and takes the ball off them. So, I mean, that bodes quite well. I think the big question mark, and I don't know whether you agree with me, is can he make the step up from Championship to the Premier League? And it's unless you try it, you don't know, do you?
No. And you know, I think on all of those points, the only people I look at in this sort of instance are Preston fans or Preston journalists, because they're the people who've been watching him, right? Liverpool fans, as exactly the same as you, same as me, watching him on YouTube, and there'll be loads of people going, oh, he's not good enough, or people looking at stats and going, oh, he's only got a 57% headed clearance ratio. But yeah, all right. Well, that's, you know, obviously we want somebody who's a bit better than that, but that only tells you a limited amount. all of the Preston fans that I've seen and the Preston journalists who watch him week in, week out are saying, he is a Premier League player. Liverpool are getting him a snip. He's probably a £10 million defender. He's got the ability to step up to the Premier League. He's quick. He's intelligent. He's really good at, with his positioning and, you know, all of the above. And, you know, and they're really, like, they're simultaneously gutted to see him go, but absolutely made up for him that he's going to be signing for Liverpool. And that, I think that tells you everything you need to know. You know.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. The response from the Preston fans has been very much like, you know, we're made up for him. They almost have taken ownership of him, and he's one of our lads who's going to make it big. You know, he's going to get his chance to make it big. Totally, fantastic. Yeah.
So there's also there was a thing in Goal where Neil Jones from Goal spoke to Reece Williams like a couple of weeks ago, I think, or a couple of months ago, maybe, talking about, you know, who he looks up to and things. And Reece Williams' response was, oh, there's a lad at Preston called Ben Davis, who I really look up to model my game on. So that, you know, that again tells you something, because Reece is at Liverpool playing for Liverpool, and he's saying, this lad at Preston's who I'm modelling my game on.
Wow.
You know, that's interesting, isn't it?
That's incredible. I'll have to dig that out, definitely. Just before I let you go, Brighton, I think, is Wednesday?
Wednesday night,
Wednesday. Yeah. What are your feelings going into that game?
I'm feeling a lot more positive now than I was, you know, prior to the Spurs game. That much goes without saying. And I think they got their win against Tottenham. And I think if you're Graham Potter, you're probably looking at Liverpool and Spurs back to back and going, if we can get 3 points, 4 points from those games, that'd be a really, really good achievement. Well, they've got three now, so that, you know, they're not going to be desperate. I don't know who they've got at the weekend, so I'm not sure how much they're going to be, you know, is there going to be something in Graham Potter's mind going, do you know what, we've got, I don't know, we've got whoever, West Brom at the weekend. So actually, you know, we could do with focusing more on getting we've got more chance of getting the 3 points against West Brom.
6 pointer, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So I've made that up. I don't know if it's West Brom, but I just mean, you know, like if they've got a team around that area, it's more likely to be going, that's the game to focus on, the Liverpool. But equally, we've got a big game that we're going to be focusing on. You can't tell me that the players and stuff aren't looking at Man City and going that, you know, we just need to get this one out the way. But this Liverpool team has been very, very good at, under Jurgen Klopp, of thinking about the game in front of them. They have, you know, the weird thing is, I'm almost surprised that we went with the team we went with against West Ham, when you'd think it's probably more of a team for Brighton to rest legs ahead of City. So I think the team selection will be important. I think it's a massive shame that Minamino murdered Klopp's entire family, and that's why he's never allowed to play for Liverpool again. There's, you know, like that, like
what last game was the Crystal Palace game, which is the best game he's ever played for us, probably.
It was absolutely brilliant, and Klopp's gone, that's not for me, that, to be honest.
Weird.
I know you scored a goal and played well, but that's not what we're after here, really. Like, just really bizarre. I wouldn't, you know, maybe he'll come in, maybe there'll be a couple of changes like that, but mainly it'll just be about getting fine-tuning, getting things ready. And if we do get a couple of defenders over the line, then maybe we have a look at one of them. If Kabak comes in, for example, maybe he has a little look at them, at him against Brighton, with a mind of can he be thrown into the burr pit of City? Because you don't want to be throwing, you know, Ben Davis or Ozan Kabak in against Man City as their first Premier League experience.
Well, exactly, yeah.
You want to see how they play with the rest of the team. So I'm feeling more confident than I was, but I just think this season's crazy. And there's still a few more twists and turns and mad results to come our way before this season's over. So every game feels more dangerous than it has in the past, I would say.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, listen, mate, thanks very much. As ever, I really enjoyed chatting to you, especially your John Moss rant. And I'll speak to you soon. You take care yourself.
Cheers, mate.
Thanks.